One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we talk about Blizzard and its games. I'm Matt, I'm the host, and with me this week are two fantastic co-hosts. I'm not going to make the Fantastic Four joke I usually make because it's been played out at this point. Come on, you've all heard it. With me up, we're going to go first with this guy because he's Mitch. Hi, Mitch. What's up?
Hey, you're right. I am Mitch.
Yep, you are.
Thanks for remembering. Sometimes my family doesn't remember that, or my friends. I've been up to, you know, the usual. Animal Crossing just added stuff today, so Anne's pretty excited about that.
I haven't seen any harmonious dudes yet.
The more you guys talk about Animal Crossing, the more bread I can eat.
Okay, but for real, so Animal Crossing did add stuff, so I've been, you know, farming that as usual. Been playing my Demon Hunter a little more in WoW, as you may see on stream right now if you're watching live. I've also, last night I got my fishing artifact, finally, on my priest. It didn't actually take super long. It was just one of those things I had never done yet. So I have that, and it sounds like it's going to be kind of a pain to get all the artifact traits up, but not super concerned there. Mostly, I just wanted to get it to get it.
Yeah, and, I mean, yeah. It's not like you don't have time. It's what else is going on right now? So
nope, nothing.
It's kind of funny because in speaking of things that you'd expect you'd have done, but you haven't done yet, I haven't done Trial of Style yet at all.
I did it once just because I still had some tokens left over from last time.
So No. I mean, I've never done it.
Oh, like at all? Never did it. Okay.
I have never done it. I'm going to segue into Anne now because I'm sure she's got stuff to say about it. But here's Anne. Hey, Anne.
Hi.
I haven't done it
this time around yet because I've been busy on the alpha, but I need to hop on and do it. And Rossi, how have you not done it?
Because I don't know how to put it. It's like it always comes up when I'm doing something else. The last time, I don't even remember what I was doing, but this time I've been leveling a Lightforged.
It really doesn't take that long to do. Like, when you queue up for it, it comes up within, like, a minute or two, because a lot of people are doing it.
A lot of my friends have done it. They all seem to be having fun, but it's like, it's literally like I'm in the middle of that thing where you have to head to the Darkmoon Fair, and then you have to head back to Stormwind, and then you have to head to Outland, and then you have to do stuff in Hellfire, and then you run out of your hour-long, you know, more XP buff, so you have to head back to Darkmoon Island. And it's just like I get so sucked up into it that I don't even log on to my main. Like, I don't even think about it.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I've been doing that, and I gotta say, I'm having a fun time in Hellfire Peninsula, which I did not think was physically possible anymore.
I love Hellfire, man. I don't like.
Yeah, but Mitch, I have been to Hellfire Peninsula more than I've actually been to real places that I live in. You know what I mean? I have seen all Hellfire has to offer. I am intimately familiar with it.
I have an update. Do you remember when last week when I was talking about how I was in Zangarmarsh and I couldn't pick anything?
Yes, you mentioned that in chat last night. And
okay, so
I was a little late and I didn't hear anymore.
I figured it out, guys. It's not me. I'm not bugged. I didn't do anything. Zangarmarsh, the zone, is not flagged with the whole leveling thing. Everywhere else is. Like, I finished off Zangarmarsh, and I went to Blade's Edge, and I was able to pick the plants that I cannot pick in Zangarmarsh. And just to test this, I picked a fellweed, right, while I was in Blade's Edge, and then I flew back to Zangarmarsh, found a fellweed, couldn't pick it. It's that zone. So if there are any Warcraft developers listening, and I know you guys listen every now and again...
Especially when Anne lists something that she does that's kind of sort of an exploity thing.
So. I really love doing this.
Well, I'm just saying that particular zone is busted, and while I have leveled out of that zone, there are plenty of people who are still leveling, so maybe if you want to issue a hotfix for that or something, it would be appreciated. Just saying. Thanks. So yeah, I can
also
pick things
also
again.
Also look at other zones to see if that's happening, because as we discussed, it's wonky all over, but Anne seems to have found a specific region where it's doing
it's
something very
Zangarmarsh.
Specifically odd.
Like, it's just Zangarmarsh. Zangarmarsh, for whatever reason, still tells you you're not a high enough level to pick this when you go to pick the plants. Everywhere else, it'll let you pick it. It'll give you the little fragments or whatever, but that's okay. It'll let you pick it. So yeah. I don't know why Zangarmarsh didn't take there.
I'm not terribly surprised I didn't notice that for one very simple reason. I'm not going to go to Zangarmarsh, so I'm not going to notice
that.
See,
I picked there very deliberately because I like the whole cool toned aesthetic with the blues and the giant mushrooms. I think it's very pretty. I just wanted to level there, but now I'm done there and I moved on. Because I want to go hang out with Rexxar and be a prairie dog or whatever that quest was. You remember that quest chain?
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. You're a marmot. You turned into a marmot.
Yeah, you're a marmot.
Have they changed the marmot model?
Side one?
No, it's Horde.
It's been... Oh, wait. No, yeah. Okay. I know what you're
It's Rexxar. About. It's a Horde quest. Jeez.
I don't remember. What? I don't know if Rexxar they've changed the marmot model or not. I haven't gotten there yet, so...
I know they have a new marmot model coming.
Yeah.
In
well, it's a prairie dog.
Yeah, but they're the same thing.
They are not the same thing.
In game.
Okay, in game they're the same thing. In real life, I'm telling you. As somebody who lives in a place
marmots,
with both prairie dogs
marmots
and marmots.
Here. Yeah, you know that we have marmots right here.
Yeah.
I've seen them actually. When we went up the mountain, my wife and I, we went up the mountain. We actually watched two people sitting on the edge of the mountain looking over the edge. And there were marmots literally going into their backpack to steal their food.
Yep. They're obnoxious.
Dang old marmots.
They're like, hey guys, there's marmots in your bags. Guy turned around and there's the marmot literally climbing out of his bag with like a hunk of cheese.
He's like, sup, thank you. Leaves.
Yeah, marmots don't care, man.
Yeah.
Marmots are like the honey badgers of mountains.
Yeah.
So, dude. Thanks for the food.
But I've actually been enjoying it. I've liked the leveling so far. I do have problems with it, and I'm gonna probably write up something about it for the site because I think there are some upsides and some downsides.
A little bit. A little bit of column A, column B.
Well, one of the things I've noticed that I really don't like is that there's one thing that used to happen in zones all the time, which is you get to a certain power level in the zone and you basically have out-leveled it, which, as we complained about a ton of times on the leveling stream, it meant you basically had to leave the zone to keep leveling. But the upside was if you wanted to ride someplace in the zone, you no longer had to worry about everything aggroing you.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. You don't ever get to a point where stuff, you know, you go to the hinterlands at level 55, the wolves mobs still aggro from halfway across the zone and come running to get you.
I mean, you can do it, like, you know, once you push beyond that expansion, though, so like hinterlands at like 65 or
yeah,
62
at that
probably.
Point, there's a thing that used to happen when you were leveling in a zone, even back in vanilla, you'd get to a power level where you were just strong enough that stuff didn't level you unless it didn't aggro you unless you got to a certain degree of closeness. That no longer happens.
Yeah, it was like the don't mess with me radius or something.
Yeah. And it's really noticeable if you're doing the blasted lands, like, you know, the weird like forest that the Worgen Druid tried to make thing that they
yeah.
stuck.
Yeah.
It's full of demons. It's absolutely packed with demons. And you start the zone at level 50, and you can leave the zone at like level 60. Like, I got up to like level 57 in that zone. Like, I went in there at 50 and came out at like 57. And those demons never stopped aggroing me from like, they would come from like nowhere near me. And every time you level, so do they. So they just keep doing it. It's a minor annoyance. And it is actually it's something that never happened in vanilla, because in vanilla you'd get strong enough that stuff would stop doing that.
It's not happening to me.
It doesn't happen as much, I'm noticing, once you get to a certain level. Like, I'm not having the problem in Outland
well,
at all.
No, I'm leveling a Nightborn Rogue, so it doesn't happen to me because I stealth everywhere. Yeah, <exactly. laughs>
But, yeah. And was waiting for you to take that bait.
I'll take the slower travel time and no aggro. That's okay. I'm cool with that.
Wait, is it even slower now?
No, it's still slower than riding a mount.
You're on your foot. Okay, you're on foot instead of on a mount, so it's slower.
Well, yeah, we should do some talking about top stories and all that. I want to talk about something that Mitch reported first, because it's gotten even more complicated since he reported it. There's been a rumor based on a little teaser that Blizzard did. They posted basically, what was it, Mitch? You wrote this. You should probably talk.
It, on Twitter, yeah. Talk about the Twitter thing, the Diablo thing.
Yeah, so it was like the end of February, like 27th or something. Blizzard Entertainment, not the Diablo account, but the Blizzard Entertainment account, tweeted something that was like, sweet dreams. And it was them turning off and on a
Diablo
like a
face.
Nightlight. Yeah, like, you know how you have those nightlights where you put them over top like a light and you can just flick the switch and yada yada. It was a nightlight that you could switch on and off. Blizzard posted that, said good night. They switched it off. They turned it on. They switched it off. They turned it on. So it wasn't just like a, hey, lights out, good night thing. It was a, look at us switching this thing on and off. And it was, you know, Diablo's helm. Or
Diablo's face. His
Diablo's face.
Speaking of which, if that's not in the Blizzard store, it should be, because that was a pretty cool nightlight. Right? I'm like, I want that.
And that was the thing. You know, it could very easily have been like, hey, look at this merchandise that's going to be on the store soon. But people didn't take it that way. And, you know, for good reason. It feels, you know, if you're switching something on and off that much, people are going to pick up on what you're doing, which is switching something, which if you haven't picked up, I'm using the word switch a lot. Switch in Diablo.
The Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. The, you know,
everybody's
that incredibly
like,
popular console.
Skyrim just came out on. Like, yeah. They're releasing old games for the Switch with Switch compatibility.
Yeah.
Bayonetta 1 and 2.
Yeah. So people kind of took that and ran with it. And, you know, Blizzard officially has said that they have nothing to announce.
Yeah.
And I don't quite remember what the there was another article that basically came out that said, like,
Eurogamer
sources are saying otherwise, but Blizzard is officially saying we have nothing to announce. So it started with this teaser, and it's just sort of expanded, and now people are really like trying to dig into it, because it seems like a very smart move for Blizzard. It would also be you know, Blizzard moving to a Nintendo console, which would be awesome. It would be Diablo on the go.
People pointed out, Diablo is currently on every other console that you can get.
Yeah.
And the Switch is unique in that it is not a, it is both a stationary and a mobile console. So it would put Diablo in a mobile world. The reason people, I think, are taking it so seriously is because it's Eurogamer. And the guy from Forbes who wrote about it basically made the point that Eurogamer is very rarely wrong, and they very rarely push something if they can't back it up.
I mean,
so if they're saying this, you know.
Yeah, but right now, I mean, since Blizzard hasn't said anything,
we can't really assume anything
until they say something. I'll tell you what, though, I'm going to be keeping an eye on E3.
And that's the other thing I think that was mentioned was, like, if this is a Switch teaser, it feels really early, because there's not really any big event until E3, which is in June. And
is it
the
June
Switch
or,
is
it May or June?
It's last year it was in June.
Okay,
it was. I think it's usually mid June.
I can't remember. I was there for it. I was there at E3, and I can't remember when it was. Okay, well, anyway, it was either May or June.
Yeah, but you know, again, still a couple months off, and it seems weird to be teasing it this early if that's when they're going to announce it.
June 12th.
Similarly.
June 12th, okay. Thank you.
Similarly, the Switch is getting the paid online services starting in September, I believe. It still has online capabilities. You can do all that, but they've kind of reiterated and pushed back the date that it's actually going to start costing money until September, and that may or may not have any effect on what Blizzard wants to do. Like, they could very easily release it beforehand. But
I don't know.
My guess is that they would probably, you know, announce it at E3 and then say, hey, it's coming this fall, you know, with online services.
Yeah, the reason I want to pay attention to E3 is because it seems like if they were going to announce something like that, they would do it at the Nintendo presentation thing that they do there, instead of like having a separate Blizzard announcement or whatever, because Nintendo likes to announce these things.
Yeah, and Nintendo is also fairly weird though with announcements. Like they just announced there is a Nintendo Direct tomorrow.
One point that's been made quite a few places is that Nintendo likes to have really solid control on the announcements, and it likes to have the announcement when they have the thing pretty much ready to go.
Yeah.
They're not big on making announcements for something that they don't actually have. So if Blizzard has got like a prototype, but hasn't done any, you know, it's nowhere near market, they might not want to be saying anything more because they're working with a partner now.
Yeah, again, the Switch Direct tomorrow, you know, granted, literally everyone's hoping for Animal Crossing because they always do every single time there's a Nintendo Direct. But
so
with
what
the timing,
time is that? What time is that Nintendo Direct?
That's tomorrow, which is, you know, Thursday, depending on when you're listening to this, at 2 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
But yeah,
we should probably keep an eye on that too, just in case.
Oh, I am absolutely keeping an eye on that for several reasons.
It's one of those things where it's like, this would be very cool.
the last Nintendo Direct they did too, like it was one of the ones where people were hyping up this Direct for weeks because it had been a while since Nintendo did one.
Yeah.
And Nintendo was doing these weird little teases and people weren't quite sure what they meant. And ultimately, it actually came down to a Dark Souls re-release on the Switch, which only, like, I think it was less than 24 hours before the Direct is when that sort of information leaked. Like, hey, this is probably what Nintendo's going to announce. So, you know, announcing this about 24 hours in advance, shortly after a Switch teaser type thing for Diablo, maybe it's a stretch, maybe not, but I'm definitely going to be watching.
Okay, we should probably now talk about Heroes of the Storm because
can I jump in real quick here,
sure,
though? Because yesterday there were some hot fixes that came out that address. I know last week at the end of the podcast, Mitch, you had mentioned you were talking about the new Battleground.
Yes.
The Brawl and how much you liked it and everything. And then was it yesterday that they came out with a bunch of hot fixes?
It was with the patch, or not patch, but it was with the downtime.
With
slash
the maintenance. Okay. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I know
I
you had a lot to
that.
Say on the site.
Yes. I will talk about that as soon as we do get some Khadgar face love for Algeron32, who subscribed via Twitch Prime. Because we love Khadgar faces and appreciate the subscription.
Thank you.
So, as far as the Seizing Shore goes, my original complaints with it, you know, when it was the Brawl version, was, hey, none of this stuff is showing up on the minimap. Like, there are 12 different zones, I guess you could call them, like, sub-zones, 12 different spawn points. For the nodes, yeah. And, like, one of them is the bonfire, one's the tower, so on and so forth. And it's not immediately obvious from the map all the time. Like, if you have the big map, full screen map, you still can't quite tell what you're looking at. And if you mouse over that zone, it's not going to actually say the name. The only time you can see the name of a spawn point is after the Azurite has spawned there. And I don't mean like the geyser. Like, you can see it before the Azurite becomes clickable. It is listed as a geyser. And the geyser will spawn in a spot and it will be kind of grayed out on the map. It will just say Azurite geyser. When it actually spawns in and is clickable, it will say like Bonfire Azurite or something, which is kind of frustrating because if you don't remember the names of the places off the top of your head and like you're trying to coordinate with your team, you don't necessarily know where to tell them you're going. Like, oh, I'm going to the beach Azurite, I think, even though there's like two or three kind of on the beach. So my complaints were mostly like, hey, can we get more information on the standard map and standard UI and, you know, have Shift M show where the geysers are, whatever. None of that was fixed. What they did change is the resurrection timer is now 20 seconds. And this is still, it still follows something that's pretty unique in that each player has their own individual res timer. Like it's not the 30 second cycling, I guess.
The universal
where you, yeah, the universal one where like,
healer.
Yeah, where you might come back and oh no, you just missed it by half a second, so now you gotta wait full 30 seconds. So they bumped that from 15 to 20 seconds, which, yeah, not, you know, whatever. But they also, they increased the time to cap things from 6 seconds to 7 seconds. And then I believe it was the spawn time, like actually from going to a geyser to a clickable spawn, is increased from 20 to 30 seconds. And of course, the honor per node was nerfed, which I'm not surprised there. It was ridiculous amounts of honor.
It was a little OP on the honor gain front.
It was. But what I loved about it was that it was incredibly fast paced. And, you know, I will point out, it's still fast paced. It's still a fun battleground. I still enjoy it. But it just felt chaotically fast paced, and I loved that about it.
It's nowhere near as frenetic as it was.
It's again, I get it, but I kind of wish Blizzard had just kept it. Like, ironed a few of the bugs out, but the pacing I thought was fine. And, you know, if Blizzard's reasoning is, hey, we want to bring this more in line with other battlegrounds, I do get that. But at the same time, you have battlegrounds like Alterac Valley and Isle of Conquest that are almost always longer than the other battlegrounds. So if we have outliers in that direction, you know, why is one outlier in the quick direction a bad thing? Or why can't we
have a speedy battleground?
And
the only reason I can think of is that it would become the most popular battleground by default.
Probably. Yeah. Well, but the honor gains alone.
The honor gains alone.
Like I said, that's the only thing I can think of. I am not a designer on a video game, so I don't know all the stuff.
The honor gains by half. Like, you were getting 40 per node, and, you know, a winning team got 15 nodes, whereas now you're getting 20 honor per node. But it's just, again, it's still a lot of fun. I still really like it. I really almost wish that they had kept the honor and the pacing and just left it as a brawl. Because to me, I made this point in the post, it feels sort of like taking South Shore versus Terran Mill, and instead of having it a brawl, putting it on the regular rotation, but saying, oh yeah, now it's only 10v10. And it took away some of what I really liked about it, and I'll get over it, and I'll grow to love the battleground all the same. But those were the nerfs that went in place. It slowed down a little bit, still fairly fast, but slower than if you played the brawl, and definitely less honor.
Okay. We were going to talk about Heroes of the Storm, so let's do that. We had the reworks for Medivh and Sonya go live yesterday. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Anything else? Like, I know there was some of the stuff on the
paper. The Storm skins? The, like, cop? I think they're called, like, Storm.
It's like an acronym.
S-T-O-R-M, yeah.
Special Tactics, Omelets, Refrigerators, and Monkeys. I don't know.
Yeah, those. Actually, I think that was spot on. Good job, Rossi. I couldn't remember what it was. But it's Greymane, Johanna, and the medevac person.
Sergeant Morales.
Yes, thank you. They all got special, like...
I think it's Lieutenant Morales, actually.
Lieutenant Morales. Yeah, they all got, like, cops-style skins where they're, like...
Cops.
Yeah, it's cops. Like, you watch the trailer, and the trailer's been out since last week, so you probably have already seen it, but it's them, like, you know, Greymane's got the sunglasses and the mustache, and...
Slow-mo walking away from the explosion.
You can't look at it, though. His wolf form is like actual, like, police dogs. Like, it's
Alex is wrong, by the way. It's great.
Realistic.
No, Alex, I liked Alex's comparison where he thought it was... Because it's kind of weird looking. It's scary. I don't like it. Alex was like, it reminds me of the Chimera stuff in, like, Full Metal Alchemist. I'm like, yes, thank you for making that reference.
I'll have to see it more in action, because I've just seen the still shots of it, and the still shots look strangely realistic. But yeah, so those came out. The Lunar Festival ended in that, and Overwatch, I believe. But
I'm gonna be up front with you guys. So think about Greymane's dog form. Do you guys remember a few years back there was like a Power Rangers like in space show?
No.
There was a character named Doggy Krueger, and he looks just like this.
Oh,
see that. So for me, that alone terrifies me.
Like, for me, it's I have this amazing amount of sympathy for Dog Greymane.
Well, okay, I'll have to Google that later, probably, or maybe not.
It's just quite creepy. Frankly, I mean, anything goofy, I'm down for with Heroes. When they get nuts, I think it's pretty much their best stuff. When they just completely ignore everything and just decide, yeah, now they're cops. Or now they're mecha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyrael's a mecha now. Whatever.
Which does remind me, they came with a couple new mounts as well. Like, cop style mounts. I think they're the Mecha Strider ones, like they're spidery like, mechas.
Yeah, like robot bugs. Yeah, I saw them. Those are pretty
cool. Additionally, the season ended yesterday, which means if you haven't logged in yet and you did any kind of ranked play, as long as you completed your 10 placement matches, either Team League or Hero League, you should have something waiting for you. Again, Team League is fairly lenient in that you really just have to do 10 placement matches and bronze will get you the mount, the base level mount, not the epic version. With Hero League, which is the solo queuing one, you have to get, I think, at least platinum to get the mount. But even if you didn't get the mount, as long as you did your 10 placement matches and placed, you should have some gold waiting for you on the other end and probably a portrait or something. And the new season has already started. It doesn't, they don't do the downtime, you know, where there's a week between seasons. They just go for it.
All right. Well, thank you. Right now, I'm going to throw it over to Anne, though, so she has something to talk to you guys about.
Hi, guys. Are you looking to snack on something healthy while you game? If you enjoy our show, consider a membership with NatureBox at blizzardwatch.com/naturebox, which provides up to 40% off of all their healthy snack options. Some of our favorite items from NatureBox are Honey Dijon Turkey Jerky, Cocoa Nom Noms, Sriracha Roasted Cashews, and Big Island Pineapple. NatureBox offers options to suit your dietary needs, single-serving samples, coffee, breakfast kits, gift options, and even an office delivery service that scales to your business. A lot of their options are actually gluten-free or vegan. You can look and like pick and choose on the website. The website actually lets you select what you're looking for when you're looking through stuff. So if you have particular dietary restrictions, you can check mark those and it'll take out the items that have those so that you're just looking at the stuff that you can eat. I actually, on top of the whole Cocoa Nom Nom thing, I know I talked about that last week. These guys, they're called crispy snickerdoodles. Wait. So they're like little snickerdoodle cookies. And those ones are not gluten-free. They're made with whole wheat flour, but they actually look really tasty. I was looking at it going, ooh, you know what that would be good in? Coffee. That's what that would
I
be good
I need to
in.
Remember to eat more before the podcast.
I was just thinking.
Now you're so hungry. Now you're all hungry.
I was just thinking to myself, thank God I ate before the show.
the sriracha... what was it, sriracha peanuts?
Cashews, roasted cashews.
Cashews, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds really good. I'm so hungry.
Well, if you're hungry or you're not hungry, but you're thinking you might be hungry at some point, you can check those guys out at blizzardwatch.com/naturebox, and every subscription helps support our show. Mitch, I actually I wanted to go back to the Heroes thing real quick because I know they did the whole rework thing with Medivh and Sonya. What did they do? Because we never talked about this, and I want to know what did they do to them?
I'm not, Grant. I'm gonna give you a heads up. I'm not super versed in this. I haven't looked into it a ton. Okay. The Sonya rework, I know even less about. But the Medivh rework, they made some of his talents baseline, I'm blanking on the name, but it's like Master's Touch or something, which it used to be a quest where I think you had to hit X number of heroes with his arcane wave.
And then it would unlock a new ability choice or whatever.
Yeah, they made that. It used to be a talent. Now it's like a quest part of his trait.
Oh, okay.
That is a baseline. I think they also made it so healing is baseline with his invulnerability shield, where before, like, you would shield someone and I think it would heal either based on the damage they took during the shield uptime or just, you know, give them an instant heal. It's been a long time since I played Medivh, but
I was just wondering if there were like big issues with both of these characters that these are addressing or what, because I hadn't heard anything.
That's the thing, like, Medivh was really cool to watch at a pro level. Because if you played him to the best of your ability and the best of your team's ability, because he is a hero that does require a lot of team coordination,
right.
You know, between poly bombs or, like he will, I forget what the exact name is. He'll imprison essentially, like just freeze in place abilities, everything, enemy heroes.
So if you're working with a group and you actually like plan all that stuff out and let them know that's what you're doing,
yeah.
And he works like, really well.
He'll do Leyline Seal is what it's called, and he shoots forward a line, and any hero caught in it is just frozen for something like 5 seconds.
Okay.
But the thing is, they are frozen, like, just stopped in time. So it's, if you're on a team where Diablo pops like his apocalypse, which puts the circles between people and does a ton of damage, or not a ton of damage, does damage and stuns them. If you pop that and then Medivh's like, hey, I'm going to leyline seal, you totally wasted that person's ult. You know, same goes for other heroes because they're not going to take anything from anyone while they're in leyline seal. So similarly with Medivh's portal placement, like your teammates have to know if you're going to place them, have to know if you're going to place one or both, because that was a talent option before. And, you know, I played with a friend who had come back to the game a couple months ago who didn't realize he could click on my portals, which, you know, that's a big part of Medivh play, is placing a portal down so a hero can escape. And also, like, you know, if you've ever watched the pros, especially in like Towers of Doom, they'll have it where they go Stitches Medivh. Stitches will nom 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 someone. Medivh will place a portal down. The Stitches takes the portal behind their base, and then the om nom nom runs out, and the enemy hero is stuck behind your lines and can't really do much. But that's the sort of coordination that Medivh, like, to really get the most out of him, you needed that sort of high play.
So he wasn't really being played in like just random matches and stuff like that all that often.
No, and if he was, there was definitely a disparity between like quick match play level and like obviously pro level or even just high level ranked play.
So this kind of stuff and was just the changes were put in place to kind of bring him back in line so that people might choose him more.
The goal was to, and I can't remember Blizzard's exact wording, but it was something along the lines of make, you know, keep that playmaking ability that makes him so great at the pro level, but also make it less, I guess, punishing is not quite the word I'm looking for, but less punishing if you're playing with a less coordinated team. Like, so he can still be effective if you can't coordinate as well as, like, pros can.
Calorat in the chat channel says, more noob friendly.
It essentially, yes, essentially okay. More noob friendly, but it, I don't know. It, I think they actually just made him stronger at the pro level. Okay. I don't know. Again, it'll, you know, some of these things take time to shake out.
Sonya, sort of, actually, have you done this on Sonya at all? Because I actually have read up on Sonya quite a bit.
No, if go ahead. I haven't.
Sonya, basically what they wanted to do was break up. There was previously pretty much one build for Sonya. It was either, you know, Nerves of Steel, Ignore Pain type stuff, and always trying to whirlwind on people. And now they've basically broken it up so you don't have to take all the same talents, and there's more stuff like Ancient Spear now has a new level 20 talent called Composite Spear that basically gives Sonya a charge that really increases the range and increases her armor as well. There's Furious Blow, which does stuff like Empower Seismic Slam. It makes it hit harder, and like every fourth Seismic Slam doesn't cost any fury, so you can do more of them. The Shattered Ground, which, you know, increases the range and splash damage of Seismic Slam. So basically you can be a slam build instead of a whirlwind build. They're just trying to give people more options on how to play her. Because right now, from what I understand, Sonya essentially had the one build, and it was get in the middle of everybody, spin around and hope you don't die before you do some damage. And she was pretty hard to kill. Like, she wasn't easy to kill.
Oh, yeah, because her spin will heal her. So if she's in the middle of a ton of enemies, as it powered up, she'll last a while longer than you might expect.
They kind of reduced that a little bit, and then they basically added new options so people feel like they can go without Nerves of Steel or Ignore Pain. They can, you know, be more flexible in what they want a designer to do. So that was the goal. Anyway, I haven't gotten a chance to play her. She's one of the characters I actually do have on my hero scene because, you know, come on. I wasn't going to get Sonya.
Medivh is actually, I love playing Medivh, and he's one of the ones I'll come back to every now and then. Like, I'll go through, you know, bursts where I'll play him a bunch and then I won't. He's one of my higher level heroes, though, to be honest. So I'm interested to see how it plays. I know one of his talents actually made it so he can place portals as a raven, which seems pretty crazy to me. I can't remember what other talents are in that tier. Granted, they may, you know, make it so it's, you know, an easier decision to stray away from that one, but I think that's the sort of thing, like, if you have someone on your team who says, hey, I'm really good at scouting, I'm not so much good at the damaging portion of Medivh, now they can fly around as a raven and still place the portals without, like, you know, going, hey, I'm going to place a portal, and then accidentally dropping down into enemy fire because they forget that placing a portal takes them out of raven form. That sort of thing, I think. And again, it it sounds like they were trying to balance him for a certain player skill tier.
Yeah, I was just curious because, like I said, I mean, I don't play Heroes of the Storm. I mostly just watch it. And I wasn't aware that either of these heroes had any major issues. Usually, if a hero's got major issues and they're getting some kind of a rework, I've heard about why already.
And that was sort of my thinking too. But yeah. Again, I watch a little more at the, I don't play at the pro level, but I watch more at the pro level. And yeah. Medivh is one of the most fun heroes to watch at the pro
right.
level. I think
so.
I can't
that's
remember.
Why I was like, why are they giving him a rework? He's really great yeah. in tournaments. He's fun to watch.
Oh yeah, and last year at BlizzCon. I can't remember who specifically it was, but there was one team that just kept playing Medivh, and the playmaking that they did was just...
It was so fun to watch.
But I think the reason they changed him is because that sort of stuff was happening at one level and just totally not at another. And I think they tried to balance that out. Ultimately, he may have gotten buffed, to be honest. Yeah. It'll be... Like always, I'm kind of...
People are complaining about both Medivh and Sonya now.
Oh, okay.
Complaining that she's strong, or
yeah, Sonya in particular. People are like, I can't kill her now. She killed my entire team. We can't stop her. Like,
yeah, no, which again.
Well, then we'll probably see more tweaks to that.
They usually will hotfix things. Usually Thursdays is when.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I have seen forms. But we should also talk about the fact that it's like the 20th anniversary of StarCraft.
Yeah.
So. I'm not really sure. I know that they're doing various promos, but I don't quite get what's supposed to happen with them. Like, you get a spray in Overwatch. I know that much.
Okay. I don't know.
You get
about
a
the
skin in
game.
Overwatch. You get the Widowmaker Nova skin, which is really cool. All you have to do is log in to get it. You can do that right now. I have mine. It's really pretty.
Is it Kerrigan or Nova?
It's Kerrigan, excuse me, not the Nova skin.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like Ghost Kerrigan with the orange hair. It's not she's, like Queen of Blades Kerrigan.
Yeah, she's got like the red hair, and she just looks really cool. I like the skin a lot.
As far as cross game promotions go, I don't know all of them. I do know that Twitch is doing this thing, kind of teaming up with StarCraft, where from actually yesterday or the 6th, depending on when you listen to this, until April 6th. So there's a full month long of if you tune into Twitch streams of either StarCraft, StarCraft Remastered, or StarCraft 2, you can get in-game rewards and I think Twitch rewards. I can't remember exactly. I know if you watch 2 cumulative hours of any of those games throughout that entire month period, you'll get the Bob Toss rewards, which whoever
it's
thought
a pro
of this
toss.
Is amazing.
Yeah, it's a pro toss. It looks like Bob Ross.
Yes, exactly. You get a Bob Toss, I think, portrait, emote, and spray for in-game StarCraft 2. And then each week, which, again, this started this week, so, you know, from now until the 12th, I believe, of March is considered week 1, and then week 2, week 3, week 4. Watching streams, and there's no actual, like, time period for this one, or, like, time requirement. It's just, if you're watching streams... You can randomly be given in-game loot for StarCraft 2, like the co-op commanders. So I think each week up until week 4 has one commander and two announcers, or it's either one commander and two announcers or one announcer and two commanders. I think it's the first one though. But yeah, you get that just for tuning in and watching. It's random, you know, obviously. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to guarantee myself these commanders. But we have a list on the website of like what specific commanders and announcers you can get during what weeks. And then week 4, if you somehow missed out on them, you can get all of them by watching. But obviously at that point, your odds are a little lower because you're competing for more things.
There's also a bunch of different rewards that you can get that are not Twitch related. StarCraft Remastered, if you log in to StarCraft Remastered after March 6th, so you can log in right now, you get a commemorative 20th anniversary UI skin for Remastered. If you log in to StarCraft 2, you get a special UI skin for each race, and you can also log in to get a portrait and a decal for that. We also mentioned the Sarah Kerrigan, the ghost skin. I don't know why I said Nova. Yeah, I know why I said Nova, because Nova Widowmaker, the whole heroes thing. Anyway,
yeah,
you get a Kerrigan skin in Overwatch for Widowmaker, and all you have to do is log in for that. In Diablo 3, if you log in, you get Dominion's Revenge. It's a battle cruiser themed pet. So you get an actual, like, a pet in Diablo 3. Heroes of the Storm, you get StarCraft 20th Anniversary Portraits. And that one is later on this month. You log in between March 27th and April 7th, so keep an eye out for that. Same thing later this month with Hearthstone. You get 3 Kobolds and Catacombs packs. They're also coming out with a StarCraft-inspired Tavern Brawl between the 21st and the 25th. So that looks like fun. And then we have World of Warcraft. And let's just talk about World of Warcraft's reward for a second here. And I'm really air quoting the word reward.
God.
For World of Warcraft, what you have to do is between March 31st and April 6th, you have to find either your pet or find someone that has one of the StarCraft themed companion pets. So either the Zergling, Grunty, Minithor, Baneling, or Zeradar. You salute the pet, and you get the salute to StarCraft feat of strength. That's it.
Yeah!
No title, no new pet, no anything else. You get a feat of strength.
You know, the StarCraft 2-themed transmog stuff from Diablo 3 is better than this.
I am...
Oh, yeah.
I am seriously underwhelmed with the World of Warcraft reward here, because, again, it's a feat of strength. Who looks at those? Nobody. I mean, I do sometimes. Just go, wow, remember that one time that I beat Onyxia, like, back in vanilla? I have a feat of strength for that. Yay! Or whatever.
I remember when I actually went out and leveled my punching skill.
Yeah, did you do it in Blasted Lands? Because that's where I did it. Those mobs that go immune near the Dark Portal?
No,
I know which ones you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think I did it
with fist weapons.
Oh, okay.
So I think I just I always loved fist weapons way back when it made no sense for warriors to love them. And I remember tanking with one. And back then, fist weapons didn't have a fist weapon skill. They used unarmed. So I got the unarmed skill from just punching stuff in dungeons.
See, I did it on my priest.
I would like to point out a couple things with the rewards. The console skin, I don't know if we're looking at different ones, but at least one of the console skins, the StarCraft II console skin, that is earned by watching 2 cumulative hours during the anniversary live stream on March 30th or 31st.
Okay.
So that one's slightly different because, they're doing an anniversary skin. There's also starting next week, March 12th through April 6th, they're doing 8 random stream, not random, but 8, you know, big StarCraft streamers, and they haven't released the names yet, are going to be competing who can get the most achievements in the campaign mode in StarCraft II, like all of its games and expansions, not just Wings of Liberty or Heart of the Swarm or whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah, and watching any one of those streamers, you have a chance to win either Terran Protoss or Zerg War Chests with the BlizzCon 2017 skin bundle. So it's in-game skins for those various races just for watching the broadcasters. It's actually pretty cool. Like there's only so many ways you can make watching Twitch like feel rewarding as far as in-game rewards, but I think they've found a really good way to provide lots of
interactive element, which is
sort of
nice.
Yeah, that interactive element makes it a lot more fun, I think. They've also, as we were saying earlier, there are global Twitch emotes, capital S, capital C, 20, and then whichever race, Protoss, Zerg, or Terran. No
all
capitalization
one word.
On those. Yeah, so SC20 Protoss. You'll see like a heart that's themed to that particular race, and it's cute. I like it. The Heroes of the Storm thing is what I wanted to get to, though, because there I can't remember where it was floating around exactly, but I think some website, you know, it was translated that the Heroes of the Storm crossover is going to be coinciding with a StarCraft Heroes release, which is interesting because, one, if it's not starting until later in the month, that's a decent amount of time between Heroes. Like, I was expecting a Hero teaser during Western Clash this past weekend.
They were talking about how they're going to be talking about the next hero shortly.
Yeah, so either we get a new hero now, like if in the next couple days, and we get another one at the end of the month to coincide with the StarCraft stuff, and it's a StarCraft hero, or we wait an unusually long time between heroes. But either way, it really sounds like whether or not we're getting a hero in the next couple days, it almost seems definite that we're going to get a StarCraft hero at the end of the month to coincide with the StarCraft event. And a StarCraft Brawl, I believe, is also planned alongside it, too. So
who do you think it's going to be from StarCraft?
Oh, God. I don't know. I really want it to be Vorazoon. But I'm thinking maybe Phoenix is probably... I think it's Phoenix is more likely. Is it Phoenix? There's a couple of co-op commanders that are definitely options. You know, several of them already exist in the game, but I really want Vorazoon because she is a badass Protoss lady and also really fun to play in.
Phoenix Star is already in Heroes of the Storm, dude.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Phoenix is Blaze, right? No,
Phoenix. He's in the game. It's Phoenix.
In Heroes of the Storm,
isn't he?
No.
He's not in Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, okay, he's being speculated. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Phoenix is being speculated. I really want Vorazoon though, because she's Protoss, she's totally awesome and badass lady character. But I don't know. I honestly don't know who we'll get. The StarCraft universe tends to be one of the ones that surprises me more. I am more surprised though if we don't get a Diablo hero, because as we were talking about last week, in work chat, it's been since June. We had Malfiel last June, and that was the last Diablo hero we had in Heroes of the Storm, which is surprising in a way.
I'll be up front. I want them to do Imperius.
I'd kill for anybody. Like Leah, what's
Imperius
his face?
Would be cool.
Deckard Cain.
Deckard Cain would be amazing.
Yeah,
Deckard Cain would be amazing, but at the same time, it would be strange.
Very
like, I
strange.
Almost feel like that'd make a better announcer pack. Than
yeah, I want the. Yeah. I know that they April Fooled the whole Deckard Cain GPS kit, which was hysterical. The 1 year that they did that. Oh, it was so funny. It was so good. But every time I think about that, I'm like, yeah, he would make an amazing announcer pack. They really need to do that. I want Covetous Shen. I want them to make Covetous Shen a hero.
Just have him, like,
throw jewels
double
at people or something.
Kill.
I don't know.
Triple kill.
Juicy. Sorry, it sounds like you're doing that Candy Crush thing. So, yeah, we should probably move on to do some emails because we have very little show left at this point. So, if you have an email for the show, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch in the subject, like I just said, so we know it's for the, you know, this show. And you know, if you can keep it, you know, within like a, you know, couple hundred words, it'd be great. You know, try and keep it short so we can get to as many as possible. Ann reads them for us, so if you don't mind, Ann.
Okay, first email is from Killigan, who is from Dalaran US, who says, "Hey, Watchers, going forward from Legion's endgame that revolves around old gods and titans, where do you think Battle for Azeroth will leave us at the end of it? If we're already fighting quote-unquote titans, where do we go next? Also, why haven't we seen, heard anything about Classic? What do you think?" Killigan, we haven't heard anything about Classic because they're working on it.
Yeah, the Classic thing, honestly, that was Blizzard saying, "Hey, stop asking us. Stop making fake servers. We're going to do this. We just want to let you know."
Yeah. The announcement that they made at BlizzCon for Classic wasn't a, "Hey, we're releasing this year." It was a, "Hey, you know how you guys want WoW Classic? Cool. We do too, and we're working on it." That's it.
Yeah. Keep in mind that they've done things like start a dedicated team.
Yeah.
They're investigating it. This was not the announcement of, "We've got this thing all set to go. Here's a demo." This was the announcement of, "Yeah, it'll happen along down the line." So
we got to figure out what we want to do with it and how we're going to implement it and all of that other stuff. But we are actively working on it. That's what it was.
Fun game to play at this point is what will come out first, vanilla servers or the next Game of Thrones book. But that's neither here nor there. They're both going to be a while.
As for the end game in BFA, I definitely think without...
Don't call it BFA. Call it Battle for Azeroth. It's Battle for Azeroth.
It's B, the number 4, and then AZ. Capital A, lowercase Z.
Guys,
I will murder you. I will find where you live, Mitch.
The end boss is going to be Ann murdering Mitch.
Shaman for AZ.
But anyway, I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to go into the detail of actual storyline quests. If you want that kind of stuff, it's out there. But this is the kind of show where people can come and get general stuff. So I don't want to talk about it too much. But from the storyline, we're definitely going to see some old god stuff. That's practically a given at this point. You don't need to know anything about the expansion to know that.
I mean, they've been throwing it in our face throughout Legion, so it only makes sense that we're going to be seeing that in the next expansion. But I
feel like I can say that we are going to see some Azshara, and that's not spoiling anything.
And they mentioned that at BlizzCon, so...
Yeah. And one thing I definitely can tell you, that one of the things that's really cool about this expansion is that they've, even though these are like dedicated Horde and Alliance leveling zones, when you get to max level, they open up for the other faction, and they do so through a kind of questing system that is effectively inserting you into the other faction's leveling zones as a agitator and a spy. And it's really cool, and there's not a ton known about it yet, but that kind of stuff is happening. They've said that at BlizzCon, so it's not a surprise. You're going to go and see the other faction zones, and you're going to experience that content yourself as world quests and as dungeons. So I really feel like we're going to have a lot more interaction with the other faction stuff than we ever had before. And that, to me, is something to be looking out for at the end of this expansion, because it's going to be there in a way that it wasn't there in Legion, because the other faction didn't really matter. Like, Horde or Alliance, it didn't matter. The Legion was there. That's what you focused on.
For my take on it, I'm slightly confused when you say Legion's endgame revolving around Old God and Titans. I do see the Titans, and I see, like, the Old God and Silithus. I'd say that's more of the teaser content to Battle for Azeroth than the endgame. I don't know. Maybe I'm misinterpreting that. But I think what... And again, this is just pure prediction at this point. I think we'll definitely... You know, I think those teasers are pointing us in the direction of, hey, we're going to get some old god stuff in Battle for Azeroth. And because this is not being advertised as an old god expansion, it could mean one of two things. We get old gods in the middle as kind of the twist, partway through it that totally redirects us. And it's like, oh my gosh, this was, you know, the actual story of the expansion. Or we go through the whole Horde and Alliance thing the whole time, you know, fighting off old gods that are surfacing here. And then our teaser at the end of Battle for Azeroth ends up being something like the Void Lords have, you know, accumulated power on other planets. Like, we have seen that Void Lord skybox several times where there's just giant tentacles.
It's surrounding in the Void Elf starting zone, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, like, if we don't get an outright Old God expansion this time around, which I definitely think we're going to get some Old God stuff because I've seen models and it would be silly not to, but... I'm guessing that the lead-in to whatever comes after Battle for Azeroth will be, hey, let's actually, you know, stop the Void Lords outside of Azeroth. Because it's been a while since we've gone to space, like, for a full expansion. I know we had Argus, but yeah. That's just my guess, though. I don't know where we would go besides the Void Lords if we don't do that.
I don't know. I don't like to say that I hate this question. I don't like this question when people ask this question, you know what I mean? When they're like, what's going to be at the end of the next expansion that hasn't even come out yet and is all still in early alpha and not even all the zones are released yet?
Well, yeah, it's definitely always hard to predict. Like, none of us, we didn't have Argus.
Who saw Argus coming? Yeah. Nobody.
Coming, so. More importantly, who before Legion was out would have said, I can definitely see Teldrassil burning to the ground and the Alliance taking over Lordaeron.
Yeah,
that seems like that's something that I predict based on evidence. Like, no, just,
it seems to me, and like I said, it's not that I like hate the question. It's just it seems like kind of a pointless question at this stage of the game. Like, the expansion isn't even out yet. Battle for Azeroth isn't even out yet. The zones aren't finished. There's only two of each faction open on the alpha. Like, we don't even have the third leveling zone open yet on both sides on the alpha. So, like, nothing's set in stone. They're still putting things together. So trying to predict what they're going to do at the end of all of this when they still haven't finished building it is just,
For me,
why would you even think about that? I'm more interested in what's going to happen over the course of the leveling experience, because again, we haven't even got all that unlocked yet, so I don't know.
See, I do get what you're saying, but for me, it's not that the question is pointless, because I love speculating and I love thinking, oh, what's next? Because I want to know everything that's coming. I want to know what's going to happen. I think it's more that my answer is pointless. Like, I tried to make it very clear. I was just speculating. It could take like
that's
five
all we
left
can
turns.
Do is speculate. I mean, I could sit there and say we're going to be invaded by a planet of barbarian overlords or something.
Yeah, it's
and
it's,
it would make as much sense as anything else.
It's fun to speculate for sure. Like I love saying, oh well, you know, they have this story option, they have this, or they could totally surprise us and do this, but
we just don't have even enough
our
to like
answers
really
are not going to be helpful.
Yeah, we don't even have enough like established right now to speculate at this point. The only speculation I've made, and I'll reiterate it again because I've said it several times over, is that I don't think that the Horde and Alliance battle is going to have anything to do with the end game of the next expansion. I think it's like a distraction tactic. I think that they threw it at us so that we had something to latch on to initially, but we're going in a different direction and we'll be in a different direction somewhere at the end of this expansion. Because
it's called the Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah, but
and
Horde
and Alliance together make purple.
Well, there's several different interpretations of even Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't think that where we finish is going to be where we started at all. And I don't know what it's going to be just yet. I won't until we've actually got the whole leveling experience unlocked and kind of have something to draw from and speculate from. Until then, all I can say is I don't think that the end of this expansion is going to be about that battle between Horde and Alliance. I think there's something else out there that's going to lead to. That's about all I can go with that. Anyway.
Yeah, I love speculating. I love knowing. So I definitely get that desire to want to know and want to hear what people think. But
okay, well, I would like to move to another email so that we answer more than one this week. So I think we should go ahead and move on.
Yeah,
that's okay.
No, that's fine. There's one more news thing I want to add on the end, but we can do the question first.
Okay. Let's see here. We'll just go ahead. There it is. Okay. I lost track of my email here. Okay, this one is from Antir, who's a warrior of Argent Dawn EU, who says, "Dear King and Queen of Lore and your fool, Mitch."
Aww.
That wasn't very nice. Mitch has been on Lore Watch before.
I mean, accurate, but...
Oh. It says, "On the lead up to Legion, I read and listened to all of the material that Blizzard put out, but I fell off WoW after getting sick of farming the Nighthold. Did we ever get an explanation as to why that comic shows Anduin as an old man preparing to fight the Legion in a final battle? From what I've understood from listening to the podcast, I thought we beat them already. Thanks, Antir."
I want you to go back and read the end of that comic again.
Yeah.
And see at any point they say they're fighting the Legion. At that end scene.
They just said it was like a final battle
the
or something.
Shadow.
The Shadow, yeah.
The Shadow is what he says. At no point do the words the Legion, Sargeras, or any of it come out of Ellen's mouth or Anduin's. He's reading a note from his father.
We assumed it was the Legion.
Yeah, absolutely we assumed. And I am just as guilty as anyone else. But nowhere in the comic does it state that scene is taking place against the Legion. It follows that it would be because he's reading the note his father gave him after he just got done killing a demon and explaining how, you know, he was stronger than they knew. The whole thing is set up to make you think that without telling you that.
Blizzard seems to be doing that a lot more in the past expansion and, you know, upcoming Battle for Azeroth, where they're definitely trying to play coy with the readers and player base.
There's a lot to that scene, and I went and reread it a couple of times after reading this email to make sure I was right. In no point does he say the Legion, and at no point does he say how far in the future it is either. We don't know. It's just years later. We don't know if Anduin is just looking really old because time is hard. We don't know if Anduin went and got himself lightforged. We have no idea how old he is in that scene. We have no idea.
Like... 2 years down the road, Anduin's going to look like an old man because, man, leading the Alliance is hard.
Oh, God, I hate this.
He will be light forged and all he will
21.
Do.
I don't care. I feel like I'm 85.
He'll be light forged and all he can do is yell Anduin.
What?
all he can do is yell his name like Departos now that he's Lightforged.
Anduin.
He's been at it so long.
Anduin Rin.
Departos wasn't actually Lightforged when he started doing that. That's not a Lightforged thing. That's just a Departos thing. Now, if you want to tell me that hanging out with Departos for however long, like Anduin and Departos are drinking in Storm, you know I should yell my name.
I want an
Anduin Departos spin-off series.
I want to hang out with Departos more. I hope that he shows up in Battle for Azeroth and we actually get to do stuff with him because he was cool. Do we have time for one more email?
Sure, although Mitch wanted to do something else. So
okay. I'm going to duck down to the last email because I kind of want to talk about this one. This is from Uthos Proudmore US, who says, "Hi, last time when I asked you what allied race you'd like to see them add, you all started talking about Trogs, Oracles, and Jinyu, so maybe my question was misinterpreted." Yeah, probably. We do that sometimes. They said, "What allied race would get you to race change your main? I'm a Draenei priest who identifies with the Horde, so I said Minare Eredar for the Horde, but I have to say that Zandalar comes close to getting me to switch. Thanks, Uthos."
They did it. It was Lightforged. I did that. That's why I'm leveling one right now. I'm switching to it.
Yeah, but race change your main is what they're asking.
I've race changed my main so many freaking times, it's not even a deal. How many times did I race change my main to raid with you?
Oh, geez. Three, four, five times?
Yeah,
this question is right up my alley because I pretty much will never race change out of Forsaken. I was actually talking about this in the queue the other day. I race changed to Night Elf to follow a raid scene, and it never felt right, and now I'm back Forsaken, and I don't think anything would change that. I will level a Void Elf alt Shadow Priest because it's fitting, and that's, I like that. But my main, the only thing that would come close to making me change, and even then I don't think I actually would, is if we got Arakoa. My Forsaken Shadow Priest is my character's identity, and even as someone who doesn't really roleplay, like having that confirmed identity in place at least, that's important to me, and I can't, it would just feel weird being something else. I would love Arakoa. I would definitely have an alt. I might race change for a little, but not permanently.
Speaking as someone who is a role player, I've race changed my main twice. Once to a goblin because I liked the goblin stealth animation. I thought it was really wacky and fun, and I wasn't actually role playing at the time. But number one, it never felt right. And number two, while I was raiding, I couldn't see where my character was at, which made it really hard when we were trying to heroic Blackwing Lair.
Do you remember you would ride around on that motorcycle?
Yes.
With the side seat?
Yeah.
And I was playing Torn at the time?
Yeah, that was super fun.
And
like,
it would look like you'd stuffed a ham.
I just this giant ham into the side seat. Yeah, no, that was fantastic. I didn't mind playing the goblin. It's just like it didn't really feel like my character. And I'd spent a lot of time developing that character. I mean, I've been playing that character since Burning Crusade when Blood Elves came out. I race changed to troll for a while because I figured, let's try a different tactic and try a different story for a main character. And that didn't really work out because it never really felt right. So I went back to Blood Elf again, and I don't think that there's a race out there that could make me change my main. I will happily roll another race and level another, like I'm leveling a Nightborne right now, and I have like a backstory and everything plotted out for the Nightborne. That's all good. It's actually pretty funny. But I won't go into that because that'd take like way too much time. But yeah, I would much rather just like roll another race. If another cool one comes out, I'll make another alt. I don't care.
See, the thing is for me, I've done this the last few expansions. I leveled a Draenei warrior through Warlords, and I'd actually been playing him for most of Mists after, before that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got through to the end of Warlords, I decided I'm retiring him.
Yeah.
And I retired him on Draenor. I left him there. He's level 100. He's there right now. And as far as his story goes, he stopped. He's just done.
Yeah.
And I roll a new character. So I rolled a Night Elf. I leveled it through the invasions last time and got it to, I got it to 100 and life leveled it in Legion. And ever since then, that's been my character. And she's getting retired at the end of this expansion. And that's why I'm leveling the Lightforge. And he's going to be my main character. That's how I do it now. I don't spend
money
on
Switch. Like that,
you just retire.
Yeah,
that's what I do. So for me, that is my race change. That's how it works. So it happened. That's what I did.
Mitch, you said you had one last bit of new stuff to mention.
Yeah, it was just really quickly, because I know we talked about this last week and we're kind of speculating. We actually, I think it was last night, we got the new druid cat form. So I believe that gives us all of the Zandalari druid forms.
Yeah.
On Alpha. I love them. They look like...
Lizard Rossi. Cat.
Yeah, Rossi, you probably have a better name for them than, like, alligator.
Well, what I noticed when I looked at them is the way that their body plan is designed, they basically look like a therapsid, which is the primitive proto-mammalian, proto-reptilian ancestor to all living mammals. Mammals actually technically count as synapsids. We're in the therapsid family. The therapsids themselves, you know, you go back and look at a gorgonopsid, which is like the really big ones. They were like up to the size of like a Kodiak bear or a rhino. And they look a lot like this. The thing about that model is I don't think that model, when you look at it, it's been data mined, it's on Wowhead. You look at the model and you can't make it move yet.
It looks very stiff. Like it's
standing straight up. If you look at cat models in the game, which this is basically based on the body plan for, cat models don't stand like this. The front legs are way down, straight up. It's what I feel like is they haven't fully articulated it or haven't fully animated it yet. So we don't know exactly how it's going to look moving around, but for me, it looks very much like an old therapsid. It's very proto reptilian. It's before dinosaurs in terms of its evolutionary plan. And it's what, you know, mammals evolved out of.
I think it looks awesome.
As far as the movement and stuff goes, keep in mind that this is just data mine stuff, like data mine models. They aren't actually implemented in game yet.
Yeah,
we don't see them anywhere. So,
they've got the models, the stuff soaked up. Like you can actually watch them move.
Yeah.
Like you can see the tanking model.
But that's
model
not necessarily the finalized block runs.
Yeah, absolutely not. Everything, this is always alpha. It's all, this is data mined alpha. So yeah, it could be tons of stuff.
Yeah. It looks to me the way the Moonkin form used the Arakoa skeleton. I think these use like the Fellhound skeleton.
It looks like it kind of, yeah.
That's what it sort of looks like. But again, you know, those are up on Wowhead. I think Rossi, you wrote something on them as well on our site. I think they look really cool. The Zandalari druid forms are just wins
board for me. They're going a lot further for the Zandalari forms than I expected them to.
Absolutely agree.
In terms of this model, one thing you have to keep in mind is when it is actually playable, this thing has to stealth.
Yes, that is correct.
It's feral form. This is going to be stealthing. I think it's going to probably be on a cat form, but I'm not sure because I think doesn't the Illidari Stalker, the Fellhound, the upright Fellhound, doesn't it have a stealth mode?
Kind of. It looks a little weird though. I think in that it just walks with its, like, it takes very small steps.
So it's possible.
I don't know if it like crouches or anything.
Whatever it's going to be has to have a stealth mode. That's the only thing. So that's my take on it. That's all I got to say on that. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that wraps us up for emails, news, and the show. If you enjoy the show and you're looking for a healthy snack, once again, if you sign up for NatureBox at blizzardwatch.com/naturebox, that helps support the show. Blizzard Watch itself is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much. And if you have a question for the show, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with podcast or Blizzard Watch in the subject line so we know it's for the show. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we will be here next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.